All right, here's the deal. You work hard for your money. Isn't it about time you put your money to work for you? If you are an accredited investor, check out LabradorLending.com. Our Integrity Income Fund provides monthly cash flow from an investment backed by hard physical real estate. Our income fund, which is uncorrelated to publicly traded stocks and bonds, invests in first lien mortgage notes diversified by geography, property value, and borrower type. So you're not investing in one project. You're investing in a diversified portfolio of first lien mortgage notes. Our Integrity Income Fund aims to pay its investors monthly distributions at a preferred rate of return of 8% annually. Possibly the best part, though, the fund showcases a short 12-month commitment, so you can invest your capital today and have access to that capital in 1 year. Check it out today, LabradorLending.com. Check out this episode with David Dodge. This is a republishing of an earlier episode with David, which was entitled David Dodge, From Drugs and Crime to a Second Chance and $20,000 per Month from Rental Properties. David is, this is packed with energy. He's a wealth of knowledge. He's a real estate investor, a coach, and the host of the Discount Property Investor podcast. And David joins us and he shares the real estate investing mistake that he made for 10 years. Hopefully, if you can catch this, you don't make the same mistake. How he was able to wholesale 750 deals in 7 years. How he avoided a 7-year prison sentence back in his 20s. And what enabled him to begin investing in real estate while he was in college. Another thing is where David is able to find 97% of the 100 purchases he averages each year. Now, that may have slowed down in the last couple of years, but as of the time of our initial recording, that was accurate. So, so much more in this one. David is one of the podcast guests who we were able to work with and feature in my book, From Adversity to Abundance, which you can grab off of Amazon. The subheader is Inspiring Stories of Mental, Physical, and Financial Transformation. The book is short but impactful, and we feature 11 different podcast guests from my podcast, and I highly recommend you grab a copy. It's available in both paperback and ebook format. Grab a copy for yourself and a friend, and buckle up for this episode with David Dodge.
Welcome to From Adversity to Abundance, the go-to podcast for real estate entrepreneurs seeking not just to thrive, but to conquer with resilience and mental sharpness. Each week, join us as we dive into the compelling world of real estate through the lens of mental fitness, where challenges transform into opportunities. Get ready to transform your mindset and expand your understanding of what it takes to succeed in real estate. Let's explore these stories of triumph and resilience together.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. I am your host, Jamie Bateman, and I'm very excited today to be joined by David, the Discount Property Investor Dodge, if I said that correctly, David
right.
Dodge of St. Louis, Missouri. David, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing fantastic, Jamie. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to get this opportunity to share some value with your audience this morning. So I'm really, really grateful to be here.
Awesome. So I know your name is out there already a good bit in the real estate space and entrepreneurial world, if you will. But for those listeners who are not familiar with you, who are you and why should we listen to you?
Yeah, great question, man. Why should you guys care, right? So my name is David Dodge. I am the Discount Property Investor. That's the name of my entity, Discount Property Investor. I've been buying real estate for about 18 years, done about 1,000 transactions. But the thing is the first 10 years I did it wrong. And over the first 10 years, I basically bought a house a year and I bought rental properties. That was kind of what I wanted to do when I first started. Yep. And at the end of 10 years, Jamie, I had 12 rentals. So I got lucky. Two of those 10 years was I was able to buy two houses in a year versus one house in a year.
Right.
And, you know, the way I was going about doing it for the first 10 years, again, very passively, was I would locate an agent first. And then the agent would help me find a property. I was getting ready to say a deal, but they're not deals. They'd help me locate a property. And then I would, you know, make an offer on that property and, you know, maybe get 1,000 or 2 or 3 or 5 discount, but like, that's nothing, you know, like basically paying full retail for these properties. And then I'd walk into a bank and I'd get a bank loan and the bank would say, hey, Dave, we're going to give you 80% of what the purchase price is, assuming that the appraisal is at or above that number. But at the end of the day, it was 80% loan. That's it, right? So the average house I was buying in the first 10 years is still about the average house price that I'm buying today, which is about $150,000 here in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. 20% of 150 is $30K. So I had to put down $30K 12 times over the first 10 years. That's $360,000 that I either had to save up to put down or in the very, very beginning for the first 2 or 3 that I did, I borrowed the 30 grand and then got a bank loan. And then I paid the 30 grand back over the course of a year, 2 or 3. Right. So the way I say it,
slow process,
very slow. So the reason I say that it was the wrong way is because it's slow, like you said, and it requires you to have 30 grand to put down on a $150,000 property. Sure. So if you're in a market where you can't find $150,000 properties and the properties are 300 grand, you need 60,000 to put down. That's very difficult.
Yeah.
So about 7-8 years ago, I went full-time in the business. I had 12 rentals already, and I decided that I just wanted to be a full-time real estate investor. And I didn't want to be an agent or a broker. I didn't really feel like doing that kind of job. So I just kind of, you know, started reading books and taking courses and hiring coaches. Mm-hmm. And I essentially learned and taught myself wholesaling. And for the next 3 to 4 years, Jamie, I did that exclusively. I just wholesaled like crazy. And in the last 7 years, I've done 750 wholesale deals. So I've done quite a few wholesale deals in just the last, you know, 7-8 years.
That's incredible, by the way.
It's pretty neat. Yeah. But here's the thing, man. I started out with rentals passively for 10 years, got 12. And then I went full time. And for the next, let's say, 3.5 to 4 years, all I did was wholesaling. I like lost sight. I lost track of the reason I got into real estate. I got into real estate for 2 or 3 reasons. Number one, I wanted to have passive income, because I wanted financial freedom. And I knew that having passive income would allow me to have both financial freedom, but also time freedom, right? So I wanted
to stop trading your time for money.
I want to stop trading my time for money, right? Yep. And then number two, I am terrible at saving money, like the worst, right? So, you know, whenever I go buy a rental property and I put money into it, or I borrow money to get it, and then I pay that money back, it's like a forced savings account.
Sure.
So I've always been terrible with money. I'm still not that great at saving it.
Yeah.
You know, but when I buy rentals, it like forces me to save it.
It's not very liquid. It's out of sight, out of mind.
It's liquid, but not very. Correct. Yes.
Right.
We're on the same page.
Not like a savings account. Liquid.
Not like a savings account. Right. Right. So, you know, about, I don't know, I guess, you know, another 3, let's just say 3.5 years, I did that full time. So then the following 3.5 years, I like, you know, had the epiphany. I woke up and I'm like, man, I got into real estate to like be my own boss and to like save money and to like build wealth and to create passive income. And I'm not doing any of that. I'm just wholesaling. I'm making a good living, but like, man, so I pivoted back into buying rentals, but this time I decided to try to figure out and learn a way to do it that didn't require me to put down 20%, or in my case, because I'm buying $150,000 properties, 30 grand. Mm-hmm. And I stumbled across the Burr method. Okay. And I didn't create the method. I didn't invent it. I have written a book on it.
Okay.
There's other books written on the topic. I'm not the only guy by any means.
Brandon Turner likes to take credit for the.
And that's fine. Yeah, I'll give Brandon the credit. I know Brandon. I've met Brandon. Yeah. He's a great guy. Love branding. Yeah. Right.
No,
and he didn't invent it either.
No, he didn't invent it. No, but he coined it maybe that term, but
he was the first guy to write a book on it probably. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but no, I've done it as well. It's some version of it. That's, you know, I have rentals as well. And that's really the primary method that my wife and I have used for our rentals. It's super powerful. So, you know, there's no perfect strategy there can be. If you don't know what you're doing, you could get in trouble. But so you kind of, sounds like you know, now are at a point where you've blended, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you've blended multiple strategies that you've kind of had mastered over those really decades, actually. And now you're kind of being more intentional about how you're approaching your own business, and so you're able to hang on to a lot of these properties that you otherwise would have wholesaled before. And
That's a great, okay. So check this out. So the first 10 years I wanted to be a landlord, but I still had businesses and jobs and whatever it was. Let me turn this on focus mode here. And, you know, it was very passive. So then I went full time, and I spent, you know, 3.5 years roughly wholesaling, but I wasn't buying rentals, but I built a skill. I built the skill of marketing to sellers, negotiating, putting properties under contract, and fininging partners to sell them to. So like all of those skills that I earned were massively helpful, right?
Yep.
So then, you know, after that 3.5 years, let's just say 3.5, that's just a simple, easy round number. Sure. The preceding 3.5 years that leads me to today, I'm still wholesaling, but we've changed the mindset, and now we're going to keep the best deals that we get from our marketing efforts, and we're going to wholesale everything else. Yep. So we literally have a saying, keep the best, wholesale the rest.
Yeah. So you can cherry pick. Yep.
And we cherry pick. So what we're doing now with the ones that we're cherry picking and we're keeping is we're using the Burr method. And for those that aren't familiar, Burr's an acronym. It's B with 4 R's. It stands for buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat.
Yep.
Very, very simple strategy. If I was to define what the Burr method is, my definition is simple. It's a strategy that we real estate investors use to acquire assets with little to no money very rapidly. That's the way I define it.
Sure.
And the way that the Burr method is so beneficial is because it doesn't require me to bring in 20% like in the past, or 30 grand to buy a property. But we do we have to go through this whole process to be able to do that. So I'm going to shorten it, and we can, you know, elaborate a little later if we want. But what we do now is we find a deal just like we would if we wholesaled. We market, we find a deal, and then we offer to buy it just like we would if we wholesale, right? We put it under contract.
Right.
But instead of marketing that deal to the cash buyers, now we market that deal to our private lenders. And we have a couple of them that we work with, 7, 8, 9 of them. And we have some hard money lender friends that we work with as well, but it's a little bit more expensive using hard money than it is private money. So we market the deal to our private lenders, but not for sale. We market the investment opportunity to them. And they say, hey, Dave, you know, we'll lend on this one. We want 12% annual, no points, hopefully. And we're like, yeah, no problem. We're only going to borrow the money for 3 or 4 or 5 months anyway. So 12% isn't the total amount. That's an annualized figure. So we'll buy the property with the private or hard money lender, and then we'll also borrow an additional 20, 30, 40 grand, whatever we need to rehab it. So the first letter in the acronym of Burr is B, buy, but you got to buy it at a discount, folks. You got to buy it at a discount. I'm going to say it a second time. It's so incredibly important, right?
Yeah.
So then we rehab the property, and we use the same money that we got to purchase it, a little bit more from that lender typically, right? Occasionally we'll have to bring a second lender in, but 95% of the time, it's the same lender.
One lender. Got it.
One lender. Right. Okay. So then we'll rehab the property. Now, rehabbing the property does a bunch of stuff. It increases the value. It allows you to rent it for more money. It allows you, or helps you, get it rented quicker.
Sure.
And it reduces a lot of the capital expenditures, CapEx, hopefully for 5, 7, maybe even 10 years. So when we're buying these properties and we're doing these rehabs, we love the big ticket items. In fact, those are the first things we typically do. Roof, windows, siding if needed, HVACs, flooring, you know, and then we'll look at the kitchens and the bathrooms and the walls. But that's the last thing we look at. We want to do the big items first, because those are the items that cost a lot of money. And down the road, 5, 7, 10 years, we don't want to have a $7,000 turnover cost. We want to keep it low. So the rehab, it does a lot for us, right? Then we go, we get it rented, and then we go to the bank. So I'm still going to the bank like I did in the beginning here, Jamie. Yeah. But now I'm not going to the bank. In the beginning, I was going to the bank asking for them to help me buy a home.
It was a new loan.
Yeah. Sure. It's a new loan. It's risky for the bank. There's a lot of underwriting that's required. Yeah. Well, now we already own the property. We've already rehabbed it. We've already rented it.
Right.
So the bank's like,
hell. And yeah, and they will count that rental income as part of your,
they will,
your income when you qualify.
So now the bank's like, holy cow, hell yeah, we want to do this refi. Yeah. Yeah, we like this house. Yeah, it's been rehabbed and it's already rented. So it's not a liability. It's actually an asset. Yes, Dave, we would love to refi this. Well, they still do the same 80%, but here's the kicker, folks. I'm not going in buying a property that the purchase price is equal to the appraised value. That's how I did it in the beginning. There was very little capture of equity. If anything, it'd be a couple grand, right? Sure. Because, you know, the bank, the appraiser is going to say, well, what are you offering to buy it at? You're offering to buy it at 160. Well, you know, my job is to tell you what somebody else would pay you for it. And you're offering to pay 160. So it's probably worth 160. I mean, their job's very easy on the purchase side. It's very easy. That's literally what their job is what is your opinion of value? Well, when you buy a property at a discount, you fix it up, you get it rented, and then you walk into the bank and you say, I want to refi. They don't care about your purchase price anymore. That number is irrelevant.
Sure.
What matters now is what's the damn thing worth? Yeah. So let's send the appraisal out. So the goal with us now with the cherry picking, the keep the best and wholesale the rest, is can we be all in with purchase and rehab, all in of what the appraisal comes back at, which is a guess, but can we be all in at 80% or less? And if we can, which we've done about 200 times now, I think I'm at like 197 burr deals. Wow. So call it 200.
Then you've got,
if we can be all in at or below 80% and the bank lends 80%, we can acquire the asset with no money,
no money.
And oftentimes I can pay the lender back 100% with the interest. Yeah. And I can use the loan to do it all, to where I don't have to come out of pocket a dollar. So the average amount that we started with, I started with to buy a rental was 30 grand. And over the last 3.5-4 years, I brought that average down to $1,200. So after, you know, 4 or 5 months of cash flows, you don't have any money invested into the asset. Your returns are infinite. It's amazing.
That is awesome. So, okay. Yeah. And I definitely want to dive into that more later. That is super powerful. I mean, you've got no money in the deal or very little. And then I think the key thing with there's several key things, but the last R is repeat.
Oh, is the repeat.
And so it's like, that's critical. Whereas your first 10 years, you weren't repeating until 12 months later, because you had to save up all that cash to be able to put down that down payment. With this Burr method, you can repeat immediately and you can go find, as soon as you have a deal, good to go. So that is definitely very powerful. Of course, there are some things to be aware of and potential, you know, pitfalls along the way. Obviously, if you get, you know, if you can't get that bank loan, you might be stuck holding the bag with the hard money lender or whatever, but I don't have to tell you that, but just for the listener out there, you know, you do need to get some coaching and know what you're doing before you just go start doing this. But one thing I want to dive into, David, if you don't mind, is more of your background.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we can bring it up to speed, you know, up to the present again, and then talk about more specifically what you have going on today. So let's you can take it wherever you want. I mean, you've done hundreds of shows. You have your own podcast. You're very comfortable with this, which is awesome. Makes my job easy. This show is, you know, from adversity to abundance, and it can be either professional or personal, but some real pain or some adversity that you've faced as a human. I mean, we're trying to focus on the human element of real estate investing, the human element of running a business, the human element of overcoming hardship, you know, overcoming struggle, and then getting to abundance and growth and You get the concept. And for the listener out there, it's not like we just flip a switch and all of a sudden all of our problems go away, but a lot of it has to do with mindset and lessons learned through the adversity. So what comes to mind, David? What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, man. So I've had a lot of adversity in my life, and it's led me to abundance. So I'll be happy to talk about this. So, you know, some of the adversity that I've faced, was really more so younger in my life than it has been recently.
Okay.
But it has molded me and it has shaped me into the person that I am today. So, you know, I lost both my parents before I was 18. I lost my mother when I was 9, and I lost my father when I was 18. So my dad did a great job of raising me, you know, up until I was 18, which I was still a child at 18. You know, they say you're legally an adult at 18, but I was a kid still. And, you know, so, growing up without a mother, you know, was difficult. It wasn't, you know, impossible by any means, but it definitely brought some challenges. Mm-hmm. But then losing my dad at the age of 18 was really tough because I didn't have any parental guidance. I have an older sister, you mm-hmm. know, who's always kind of had my back and kept an eye on me, but she's not my mom. She's not my dad. She's my sister.
Sure.
And I've had other family, you know, aunts and uncles and grandparents that have obviously been there to help me and to help guide me. But at the same time, they're not your parents either. Right. So at the age of 18, I was out on my own. And luckily my grandparents, you know, were really good savers. I'm not a good saver. They were, and they were like, hey, we would love to have you go to college, you know, and we're going to pay for it. And I was like, holy cow, this is amazing. Like amazing people, angels on my shoulder. So they helped me, you know, go to college for 4 years and help cover some of those costs. I paid for a little bit of it, but they paid for the majority of it. But because I didn't have any parental guidance, man, I got in a lot of trouble in college. I just was hanging out with the wrong crowd and, you know, was doing a lot of activities that we wouldn't refer to as being good activities. And, you know, a lot of these activities were very illegal activities. And, you know, I got myself into a lot of trouble. And, you know, at one point, I was, you know, standing in front of a judge facing 7 years in prison.
Oh, wow.
For certain, you know, activities that I was doing. And the judge took mercy on me and was like, you know, you don't have any parental guidance. I think I was like 24 at the time, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, and I was crying up on, you know, in court and, you know, I didn't want to go to prison, you know? So the judge took mercy on me though. And she said, you know, we're not going to send you to jail because this is your first, you know, basically big offense here. Mm-hmm. But you know, this is real. This is real life. And if you keep, you know, screwing up and you know, messing up, you're going to go to jail, dude. And she ended up giving me house arrest for 9 months, man. So I was on house arrest for 9 months because of my activities.
This was in college still, you said?
In college is when it started, but it rolled over into, you know, into my early 20s too, right?
Got it. Yep.
And, but you know, the thing was though, Jamie, that was one of the best things that ever happened to me, to be honest. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about that or to even say that out loud, but
yeah, no. And just to quickly jump in, that is one of the things that, you know, it's been one of the themes with the shows we've had thus far is that, and of course this takes time and reflection, right? You don't see this in the moment typically, I would assume, right? But looking back, it's a lot of people have said similar things with very painful, you know, traumatic or experiences they've been through, is that it is the best thing that ever happened to them.
It's one of the best things that's ever happened to me. Absolutely.
So why do you say that in your case?
Well, because if I hadn't gotten caught doing what I was doing, I would have kept doing it. Yeah. You know, so, but yeah, long story short, it was one of the best things that ever happened to me. I straightened my life out. I quit messing around with the crowd that I was messing around with. I quit messing around with the substances that landed me in that courtroom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I realized at that point in time that, you know, I had been kind of veering down the wrong path since the age of about 18. So that was, you know, about 7 years that I was like kind of up to no good, you know, and,
long time. Yeah, it's a, you know, almost a third of your life, it sounds like, at that point, a third or a quarter of your life.
Yeah.
So my point is,
a long time.
You're building and you're building habits and patterns and things. So it's It's not like you wake up one day and you're just, you know, oh, that's over. I imagine that was quite a process.
It was. It was quite the process, but it led me to going into real estate full time. So again, it was a godsend. It was a blessing, right? The fact that I was able to avoid a harsh sentence, was amazing. I still got punished. I had 9 months house arrest from my actions. Mm-hmm. And I had an additional 4 years behind that of supervised probation. So I was getting drug tested, and I couldn't leave town without, having a probation officer breathing down my neck. I had to check in with them, once or twice a week, random drug tests, all that stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just 9 months house arrest. It was 4 years of supervised probation.
Oh, wow.
That was the punishment. So the punishment was, it was tough. It wasn't easy. Yeah. It wasn't prison, but it was still punishment. Yeah.
But
here's the thing, man. When I was on house arrest for 9 months, I read like 100 books. I couldn't leave my house, man. So I just was like, all right. And I'm not a big reader either. Trust me, it takes me a whole day to read a 100-page book. But I was just like, I'm just going to learn real estate investing. I've already got some rentals. I already know how to do it the wrong way. Let's learn how to do it the right way. And during that time, I probably spent $50,000 on books, courses, and even a couple of coaches along the way too. And I was buying courses online, weekly. Anything and everything on rental property, fix and flip, landlording, wholesale, lease option, creative finance, sub two, you name it. I was learning about all this stuff.
And you were working at this time?
At the time, so right before I got in trouble, I had bought a house to rehab. So luckily for me, I was a full-time real estate investor, even though I wasn't doing a ton of transaction. I just had one house that I was fixing up.
Got it.
So I was able to leave my house at like 8 a.m., but I had to be home at like 6 p.m. And that was only 5 days a week. So the weekends I couldn't leave. I basically had a really early curfew and I wasn't allowed to leave very early. So I had a gap. I had a time that I was allowed to go work a job essentially. Right. But instead of going to a job, I would go to this house.
Got it.
And I would fix all of it. And that ended up taking me like 7 months. So almost the entire time I was on house arrest. But it was such a great opportunity to learn how to do plumbing, how to do roofing, how to install windows, how to do flooring, how to put in cabinets. Like I had friends that would come help me that I'd pay, but I didn't hire anybody ever like, hey, I need you to do my kitchen. It was always like, I want to learn how to do the kitchen. You know how, so I'm going to hire you, but I'm going to be your assistant, like it or not.
Right.
And they were like, okay, you're still going to pay me. And I'm like, yep, I'm still going to pay you, but I want to be there every second of the way to see how you're doing this and learn the process.
Sure.
So I did kind of have a job. It was a self-employed job at the time.
Right. Understood.
But for the most part, that opportunity led me into education of learning, what not to do, which I had been doing for 10 years, and how to market direct to seller. I did my first wholesale deal, while I was, dealing with that. Mm-hmm. And once that I was, able to leave my home again, freely, I went and got an office and partnered up with a couple of my buddies. And we just started marketing like crazy. Direct mail, cold call, cold text, bandit signs. I got some radio ads running. We've had billboards in the past, a lot of networking, AdWords, SEO, all these different things that we can do to get direct to the seller, right?
Yeah.
And then once I was able to get direct to the seller, I was able to then learn how to negotiate and how to lock up properties and how to wholesale those properties. So again, it was such a great opportunity.
Yeah.
But it all led from a bunch of bad decisions,
yeah,
hanging out with the wrong crowd and then ended myself in court facing jail time. I mean,
that's what I wanted to dive into a little bit is, and I appreciate that you said you made bad decisions. Right. And that's, and I'm not trying to, this show is not meant to be 100%.
I did. I made bad decisions.
But I love that you took ownership of it and you ended up seeing this as an opportunity versus only a problem. Right. But the other thing you've mentioned a couple of times was hanging out with the wrong crowd. Right. And so how did that go as far as just kind of like, your environment is so critical for, for all of us. Right. So I understand that you had forced, certain things were forced upon you from the court system, but how did you tactically did you have to say like, Hey man, I'm not, I'm not going to be friends with you any longer. Like, how did you?
Yeah, I had basically done that prior to, okay, you know, the feces hitting the fan, using cuss words here. Right. So, yeah, I had basically done that prior. We all kind of knew that we were going to get in trouble for the most part. So I just kind of separated myself from these individuals and I just told them, hey, this isn't personal, but like, I don't want to go to jail. I wish you the best of luck. And if you're ever in a really, you know, bad situation and you need a helping hand, you can call me by all means. I'm not telling you that I don't want to ever talk to you again, but we can't hang out anymore. And I just separated myself from these individuals.
So then you were focused on coaches and reading and absorbing all this knowledge and growing your positive influences. Right. And then,
So I mentioned earlier, I'm not the best at reading, but here's the crazy part. I love learning new things, man. Like I've always been a good student. I've always enjoyed school. When my grandparents were like, hey, we want you to go to college, I was ecstatic. I'm like, I get to go learn for 4 more years. Like, this is amazing. So whenever I was in my, you know, in that time frame of my life where I was in trouble and things were not looking great, you know, it was another opportunity for me to learn. So, you know, hiring coaches and taking courses and, of course, reading books. And I didn't even mention, listen to hundreds, thousands of hours of podcasts, just like this one.
Right.
And learn from other individuals who were already wholesaling, already had hundreds of rental properties, and just picking up little gold nuggets along the way. I love to learn. I'd love to learn then. I love to learn now.
Yeah, I'm the same.
You know,
way.
So I mean, it was one of these things where it was like, holy cow, I dodged a bullet, and then now I get to learn. Like this is, I mean, it was a lot of bad things that happened all at once, but then it was like a lot of good things that came from it. Yeah. And that's really where the abundance came from. And I have a lot of abundance in my life now. You know, I've done 1,000 transactions. I got about 90 rental properties.
That's impressive.
We bring in about 20 grand a month in passive income from our rental portfolio.
Now, just to be clear, when you say we, and you know, we don't have to get into specifics if you don't want to, but is that who is we?
My partner, Mike, and I.
Okay. That's amazing. That's awesome. That's really impressive. I just, you're like, you clearly are not afraid of hard work. Clearly like learning and growing and the abundance mindset. It sounds like you just had to get yourself on the right track and get, you know, make sure you were exposed to positive influences. And it's this is a really good, turnaround story. So it's impressive, man.
Thank you, man. You know, it's just one of these things where like, I always wanted to do real estate and I dabbled and then I jumped in, but I jumped in and I was blinded by a shiny object, which is wholesaling. And I'm glad, you know, I don't have any regrets,
right?
But I'm glad that over the last, you know, 3.5, call it 4 years, that I brought my focus back.
Sure.
Yep. You know, I bought my first house when I was 20 years old. I house hacked. I was in school. I was house hacking. I borrowed that 30 grand.
Actually,
I got
80. You know what? House hacking is the one that Brandon takes credit for. The term.
Okay. Okay.
Anyway.
Well, either way, I'm a fan of Brandon.
Love it.
But, and I know
house
you
hacking
are too.
Is super powerful.
It is. And I did that 3 times while I was in school. So I was awesome. Actively investing and buying rentals and doing this, you know, but again, I lost sight of it when I started wholesaling, but I brought it back. And, you know, at this point, our goal is to acquire rental properties that are assets that we can use the Burr method we can use the Burr method to get into these with very little to no money.
Yeah.
And then the last R that I skipped over, but thank you for reminding me, was to repeat. And now it's so scalable. So now, you know, we can go pick up 5, 6, 7 houses in a month. Where I was doing one, maybe 2 in a year, you know, in the beginning.
So question, and then we'll do some rapid fire questions before we wrap up. But as far as your business right now, are you adjusting anything based on market conditions or where do you
see things? I mean, we're always adjusting stuff. I mean, really the interest rates are going up. That's a given. So we got to find better deals.
Sure.
You know, inventory is low.
Yeah.
And inventory is low. So it's hard to find good deals. I mean, we used to stumble across 2, 3, 4 deals a month, just stumble across them. Right. And now, you know, we're lucky to get a property under contract weekly. You know, it's
Are you buying in you must be, you know, have a pretty good footprint.
We have about 100-mile radius around where we live and work. Okay. My office is 8 minutes from my house, and I'm happy to buy something and flip it or rent it out if it's within, you know, an hour and a half. I would say 90% of our portfolio is within 25 minutes away from our office. Got so it. It's you know, we're hyper local, I guess you could say.
So,
you know, I'm in St. Louis, Missouri. Yeah. And I don't own any property outside of Missouri. Everything I got's in the state. But
you are the expert in that area. Sure. I mean,
yeah. Oh, so, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've been in the game for quite a minute and, you know, 750 wholesales, 200 burr deals, roughly 1,000 transactions.
So yeah. Geographically, you're the expert. And then also, it's like you have so many tools in your tool belt. No matter if a deal goes sideways, you still have an option. You still know what to do. So
everything we do is buying at a discount. Hence the name of my show and, you know, my nickname, David, the Discount Property Investor. I was just going to say, here's the thing, guys. If you buy a property retail, can you make money on it? Well, the answer is yes. It's just so slow, right? Yeah. And you're going to typically need money to put down to buy it too, right? But if you buy a property at a discount, all of the exit strategy doors, they're wide open. If you want to wholesale it, you can make a profit without even buying the home. If you want to add it to your rental portfolio, you can use strategies like subject to or burr, and you can get into these properties for little to no money. If you want to fix and flip that property, you've mitigated your risk a ton. Can you buy a property and increase value from rehab alone? Yeah, but it's not going to be a huge increase typically. But if you combine that forced appreciation from fixing it up with the discount or the captured equity on the get-go, you've doubled your spread.
No, it's a very good
point. I teach people is regardless if they want to wholesale, regardless if they want to fix and flip, regardless if they want to be a landlord and, you know, 2.0 landlord, a Burr method landlord like me and you, regardless of what they want to do, they need to learn first and foremost how to buy properties at a discount.
Yeah.
I truly believe that is the first step that anybody should take. You don't have to be a wholesaler if you don't want to be a wholesaler, but you need to learn how to find discounts.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just say one more thing before we wrap up here, Jamie, and we can do a fire round, of course, too. Yeah. But when it comes to buying properties, you got to get a discount on those properties. Yep. And when I first started out, I was looking at properties that I would buy to fix and flip or add to the portfolio, you know, as how much profit can I make? And I don't look at it that way anymore. Now I look at it, am I buying it at a big enough of a discount where I can screw up 2, 3, maybe even 4 times and still make a couple dollars or even break even, right? So at this point, I've pivoted my mindset to, is the discount deep enough to where my bookkeeper could manage the rehab and screw it up and I'd still make money on the deal.
That's pretty good.
So you got to learn how to buy at a discount. Oh, here's the point that I was trying to make. We're good.
It's all good.
We'll go with that.
The same thing applies. And so we're mostly focused on mortgage notes. I mean, rentals are an important part of my own personal portfolio, but same exact thing applies. And you can get into the argument of, so the way I look at both of our businesses really is it's three parts. One is raising capital, and you talked about that with hard money and private money, and then the bank. The other is finding the deals, and the third part is managing the assets, right? And so, but if you don't buy a mortgage note at a good enough discount, you just put a ton of stress on yourself to make something out of nothing. And you know, it's the same philosophy and concept is true in notes. If you don't buy at a discount, you're probably there's a good chance you're screwed. I mean, or you're just not, there's nothing there. So why not set yourself up for success? I mean, I think Warren Buffett has the same philosophy. It's all about the buy, right?
And value investing.
Value, exactly.
Buy it at a discount and then, you can make money. So, here's the point I was trying to make. And I literally slipped my mind twice, but it came back to me. You know, we've averaged about 100 purchases a year. Last year, we did 160, which is a little crazy, but we've averaged about 100 purchases a year. And the point that I want to make is, you know, 2 or 3 out of 100 come from the market, like the MLS on market.
Okay.
Wow. The other 97, 96, 98, whatever that number might be.
Yeah.
You know, let's say 97%, that's probably a good number to use, come from direct to seller marketing. There's no agents involved. Sometimes there may be, but they're not on the market. They're direct to the seller. And what we do as investors is very simple. My way of defining it to a newbie is this. We exchange convenience for discounts. That's it. That's the simplest of definition of what real estate investors do. If you want to go buy a property retail and fix it up and try to make a profit, go for it. You're not going to make that much money typically.
Right.
No. Right. But if you buy it at a discount, you might not even need to fix it up to make money on it. Right.
Sure.
But the best way to buy discounted properties is go direct to the seller, find sellers that have problems, right? Find people that are distressed, or they have a distressed home, or the holy grail would be to find a distressed person that has a distressed property. And you offer them, you offer them convenience. Sure. You help them. I mean, at the end of the day, we're helping people, right?
You're we're someone else's problem.
Yeah, we're saying, hey, we'll take this off your hands. We'll pay you for it too. Now, we're not going to pay you full retail because this is a business. And by definition, business means the act of making money. So, of course, we're doing this to make money, right?
Of course.
But we're offering convenience to people in exchange for discounts. That's it. It's so simple. So if you are brand new and you're listening, understand that.
Yeah.
Understand that this is a marketing business before it's an investing business. And then number three is you make your money when you buy, you get paid when you sell.
It's really, really good. All right. We're going to fly through a few questions and wrap it up. What's something that people misunderstand about you?
Oh man, I'm a clown. I like to laugh and have jokes and, you know, I like to love life. So I think sometimes people, they think I'm a jokester out the gate and it's just like, I just want to make people laugh.
Right. You know, I love it. That's good. All right. If you could have coffee with any historical figure, who would it be?
Meaning that they've already passed away?
They could be alive. Anybody.
I'd say Elon. No, Elon's the best we got on the planet. He's the best. So I would love to be able to meet him. That would be cool.
I just saw did you see his ending the work from home thing the other day?
Yeah, I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
if you don't come here, if you're not here physically, we'll just assume you're not working.
We'll just assume you're not working. Yeah, I love it. I think he worded it perfectly.
He is incredible. It's amazing. All right. If you were given, let's say, $20 million tomorrow, what would you do with it?
Oh, I'd park it because I'm terrible at saving. I'll tell you that. So here's the thing. I would much rather have income coming in monthly or quarterly than a big nest egg, because the nest egg you can spend, you can blow it.
Sure.
But the income, if it comes in routinely, like for instance, our rental portfolio pays us about 20 grand. My partner, Mike and I, we can blow every nickel of that. And then on the first of the month, the next month, we got 20 grand more coming in. So what I would do with that money is I would buy real estate. I'd park it. And I would try to get my passive income up to, you know, 800 grand, a million, million five, whatever it would equate to, because then it's impossible to go broke. Every month you get more money coming in. Yeah, so to me, it's never the big number, which is most people's goal.
You would turn that into cash flow.
Yeah. Having a big number in one spot scares the hell out of me. You know, it's going to be gone. So
what is what's a challenge that you're facing in your business right now?
Finding good deals, man. Inventory is light.
Yeah, got it. In your opinion, you've already covered some of this, but in your opinion, what's one of the most important personality traits for someone to be successful in your industry?
Okay, so any industry.
Definition. You're saying
it. Yeah, so I'm actually going to build on that.
Got it. Got it.
All right. My definition of success comes down to three words: consistent, persistent action. I literally interviewed a 17-year-old last night. He's one of my coaching students, and he just got his first wholesale deal. He made 11 grand. And I said, what was the main thing that you took away from my coaching? And he said, you got to be a persistent SOB if you want to do deals. And I said, yep. And I asked him, I said, how many times did you touch that seller with a phone call, a text message, you know, an email, just a touch? And he said, at least 40.
Wow.
And I go, you know what a newbie would do? Two or three and then stop.
Sure.
That persistence allowed you to do a deal. So in real estate, to answer your question, persistence.
Yeah.
In anything in life.
Yeah, sure.
It's persistence, guys. You can't be
weak.
You got to be persistent.
And consistent, like you said. And an action taker. So
all the above. Awesome. Yeah. Consistent, persistent action is the equation that equals success, guys. It is. No matter what you want to do, you can't quit. You got to be consistent. You got to be persistent about it.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean you never pivot. You talked about several pivots you made with your
strategies. Oh yeah, we pivot all the time, especially with marketing. So, if marketing's not working, then we stop and we find another thing to do all the time.
All right. What's a movie that you'd recommend? You ever watch movies?
Yeah, I love movies, man. I would say I just saw the new Top Gun. It was amazing. Love it.
Nice.
Yeah, okay, check that out.
What other podcasts do you like? You have your own, right?
So I host the Discount Property Investor Show. And I also host Wholesaling Inc.'s podcast one day a week.
Okay.
So I love both of those. I'd recommend those.
So that's how I met you is through Brent, who interviewed me on that show last.
Yeah.
It's not out.
Great
yet,
team of people over there. Great team. So I would say those two would be my two faves just because I spend a lot of time working on both of them.
Perfect. Two more. How do you like to serve others?
I like to serve others by showing them that they have more value than they think they have or they know that they have. And I like to make them laugh because it just brings joy to their life.
Love it. All right. Last one. And you've touched on this, but where can our listeners find you online?
Yeah. Yeah. So discountpropertyinvestor.com is my main website that hosts my podcasts. If you guys are looking to learn more about the Burr method, that's really my passion at this point. I do have a program that you can learn more about it and that you can find that at wholesalinginc.com/rentals. Again, that's wholesalinginc.com/rentals. You can learn more about me. You can learn more about the Burr method. And if you're curious, book a call with my team and we can, you know, kind of put together some of your goals and wants and put together a plan to help you achieve them.
Awesome. Cool. This has been really good, David. You have a ton of energy and you bring it.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Jamie. Like I said in the beginning, I'm honored to be here. I'm grateful for this opportunity to, you know, serve and provide value to your audience. So I couldn't be happier this morning. So again, thank you so much for including me.
Appreciate that. And to the listeners out there, we appreciate you spending your most valuable resource with us, and that is your time. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on From Adversity to Abundance. We hope today's episode has equipped you with valuable insights and practical advice to elevate your real estate journey. For more inspiring stories and resources, visit us at www.adversitytoabundance.com. If this episode has inspired you, please share it with a friend who could also benefit from our conversation. Together, let's turn adversity into abundance. Until next time, keep building your mental fitness and your real estate empire.
Hey, everyone, this is Jamie Bateman. Real quickly, I wanted to share with you something that's been pivotal in the growth and success of my businesses, and that is my partnership with Haven Financial Services. I've been working with Haven for over a year now. Christine Valdez was on episode 70 of this podcast, so go check that out if you want to hear her story. It was a fantastic personal story for sure, but Haven has been awesome. They provide me with monthly reports that are super clear and discernible, and that provides me with clarity and focus so that I can do what I do best, which is running my businesses, not preparing financial reports. Again, if you're in the market for a top-notch financial service company, or if you just want to check one out, go to jamiebateman.com/haven and check out Haven Financial Services. Again, that's jamiebateman.com/haven. Can't recommend them enough. Christine and her team have been fantastic. So I definitely recommend you check out Haven Financial Services at www.jamiebateman.com/haven. Let's get back to the show.